Padded Room Radio. My name is Darian. It's about that time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a week. I'm a little under the weather, but that's fine. But it is time for an episode of Black Mirror. Talking about Season 1, Episode 3. This one is entitled The Entire History of You. Oh, this one is a bit of what I like to call a motherfucker, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real kerfuffle, this one. A bit of a bugaboo, as it were. But we got to start this show off the way we start every Black Mirror episode off, with reading last week's Patreon comments. Let me just pull these up right quick here. American Horror Story, Black Mirror. 5 comments, 3 likes. I like the sound of that. Started off with our old friend Cakewolf. Cakewolf says, "You're the man for answering those questions. Much respect. I'm starting to think you're the Iceman. Too cool to get ruffled." You think pig sex is too much for me, Cakewolf? Are you kidding me? Have you listened to the regular podcast? That's a walk in the park for me. I'll tell you all about which pigs I will and will not have sex with. I don't particularly care. My mom doesn't listen to this. Yeah, I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but... she knows I do a podcast. I don't think she knows what a podcast is. I made her listen to episode 1 of The Padded Room, and all she did was yell at me about the language I used. So I don't really care about that. Here comes Kevin, Tokyo, Japan. Rewatching and listening to these, I up my pledge from $2 to $5 to get access to these. So far, great commentary. Hey, thank you very much, Kevin. That's badass. I really appreciate that, and I'm glad that you're enjoying the show. I don't know if you still listen to the regular Padded Room, but you actually are going to take control of May. So let us know what kind of movies you want us to do in May, and we'll do them for you. And if you listen, that's cool. If not, that's cool, too. Here comes Kevin again. Episode 2 is a direct commentary on free-to-play games that are so common on smartphones today. People spending hours on these games that are free, with video advertisements appearing to make money for the game developer, with an option to pay to skip the ads and buy virtual clothes for your character. Yeah, man. Guilty as charged. I think, we all have smartphones these days, and I think we all have some cute little game that we like to dial in when we're sitting in line at the DMV or at the dentist's office. I've done it. I try not to spend money on those, though. If they're free, the only time I actually spend money on those is when somebody pisses me off. Like that troll I was talking about a couple weeks ago that called me a pussy on Mafia City. I did not spend any money on him. I actually weirded myself out after I sent him a dick pic. I started thinking, what if this is not, in fact, the angry black man that is prominently displayed in the profile picture? What if it's a little girl or something like that, and I just sent her a picture of my penis? Now I could be in serious trouble. So I ended up deleting that whole app. Although I would have, if it was an angry black man, I would have gone a few extra rounds with him. Kevin coming in again. Also, did you notice the people bicycling to earn virtual currency in this world are generating the electricity that the society depends on so that they can see more ads and buy access to TV shows? It's a system in place to control the society that is pretty much rigged, with the people on top keeping the control and actual electric power. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that pretty much went without saying. But, if the people on the bottom are happy, then and they're happy cycling and they're staying in shape. And, take, for example, the guy that was right next to Bing, the sweaty guy that was kind of a cock. He was having a hell of a time. Watching the fat-shaming show and playing the weird first-person shooter that you pantomime with. I don't know. But it's cool. If they're happy, I'm happy. We're all happy. We all get... and I think, if you live in one of those cells with the smart walls, it's not so bad. I hope that there's more to this, to those apps than what we saw, because really it was just girls freaking each other, fat-shaming, and... the weird America's Got Talent show, and that was about it. You gotta hit me with something more than that. You know what I mean? I'm happy to be one of the ignorant masses, but you gotta bring it in. You know what I'm saying? I need more than just that dumb first person shooter game. Crackhouse Matt coming in. This episode is why I don't play games on my phone. Well, that's good policy. I like that. I like that you don't do that. That's probably why you're better than us. But the rest of us need a little something to get us through the traffic on the way home. You know what I'm saying, Matt? But you know, I mean, it's fine. They're fun usually. But the thing is that you don't want to, you know, you want to remember that there's a world around you. And I was actually thinking about that episode the other day. It seems all right, but at some point you're gonna want like a real relationship with a real person, not just an avatar. You know what I mean? Because it's weird the way that prison / housing system was set up, where they could like eat together and take breaks together. But I wonder what the policy was on maybe spending the night in somebody else's cell. You know, you didn't see that. That's probably where the problems begin. But I don't want to think too much into it. It was a good episode. And that is it for our Patreon comments from last week. Thank you very much for listening and for taking the time to comment. I'm glad you guys are enjoying the show. Let's jump right into Black Mirror Season 1, Episode 3, entitled The Entire History of You. Youch. This one's directed by Brian Welsh, written by Jesse Armstrong. We're gonna start off back in jolly old England, as we're wont to do with Black Mirror, and we're gonna start off at what appears to be an employee evaluation or possibly a job interview. It's kind of hard to tell, but what we have here is a young attorney who is being evaluated by his firm, I guess, or partnership. It doesn't really get. We're not gonna spend too much time here, but we are. We're going to get a glimpse at the technology side of this particular episode. Basically, what we have here is some kind of a rice-sized chip that is implanted in you right behind your ear. And from that point forward, it basically records everything you see, feel, hear, taste, experience, all of it. And not only does it record it, but you have access to that and can play it back at any time. And via this weird little thumb drive looking jammy, you can put it on your TV. You can project to other people's TVs. Apparently, you also have access to other people's rice chip thingies. So that's pretty cool, but this is going to bite us in the ass, and I'll explain that in a minute. So he's being evaluated, and he's got what they call a redo prepared. And what a redo is basically I guess like a highlight reel of the last couple of, I don't know, whatever it is you want to look at. So he's prepared to show these partners his redo, which is, I assume, the highlight reel of his time working for that particular firm. And they're like, no, that's okay. We look forward to working with you again, but don't worry about it. We'll talk about that next week. So that's cool. That's the end of the redo, and he's sent on his way. And that's also the end of the evaluation. Now, apparently he didn't feel that went as well as it should, because as soon as he gets into the weird automated taxi cab, he immediately starts playing it back. And not only can you play it back, but you can like zoom in and enhance certain features of your memories, which is pretty cool. And he starts like looking at the facial expressions of the people doing the, evaluating and looking at the papers they were scribbling on as they were evaluating him and things like that. And he's not leaving this evaluation with a warm, fuzzy feeling, needless to say. He's a little anxious about it and, thinking he's probably going to lose his job. So that sucks. What's even worse about this is that he goes from the evaluation to a train to another cab to a party that he is supposed to be meeting his wife at. So he gets to the party. Everything's cool. This party, by the way, is about a handful of pretension. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I hate these fucking parties. My wife takes me to two or three of them a year, and it's basically everybody pretending to be the coolest person at the party and quietly bragging about how much money they made and what kind of car they just bought and shit, like how much they paid for the clothes they're wearing. You know what I'm saying? Trying to be extra cool, but at the same time measuring each other's dicks. I'm sure you've been to parties like that. It's a pain in the ass, and it's super pretentious and just a fuck story all the way around. Nobody wants to go to these parties except for the other assholes that can't wait to tell you how much they spent on their new Audi 6 or whatever that car is. I don't fucking know. Anyway, he gets to the party. Just to give you a quick snippet of how pretentious these fuckheads are, before he walks in, we see another guy doing his playback of a hotel suite that he stayed in that had frayed carpet. And he's like vehemently angry about the frayed carpeting in the hotel suite. I paid top dollar for this, and this is the kind of shabby carpet I get. See, that's what I'm talking about. Go fuck yourself. That's stupid. And that's a party that nobody really wants to go to. They just have these parties so that they can show off what it is that they've got. You know? Oh, I hate these people. Anyway, he gets to the party. His wife is already there. And, you know, he's being introduced around. He right before he walks in, he does a quick playback so he can remember everybody's names and stuff like that. He finds his wife. We meet his wife, a young lady by the name of Fiona, or Fee as he calls her. Our attorney, by the way, is a guy named Liam. Liam is a younger guy, seems pretty cool for the most part, little nervous about everything, but just coming off this weird evaluation, I would be too. And anyway, we meet Fiona. She seems all right. And we get introduced around this pretentious fuckface party. Now, at some point, Fiona asks him how the evaluation goes, and he's like, eh. And then the people at the party hear him talking about being evaluated, and they're like, oh, play it back. We'll judge it. We'll take a vote. You know, we'll see how you did. Liam's like, eh. And here we're going to meet the king of the fuckfaces, a guy by the name of Jonas. Jonas comes up and introduces himself, says he's an old friend of Fiona's. Kind of comes to Liam's rescue. And because Liam doesn't want to play back the evaluation, it's obvious. But Jonas comes up and he's like, hey, not cool, guys. He's clearly uncomfortable with it, so let's just back off, okay? It's not cool. Now, let me explain. Now, I don't know if you guys are on the same page as I am, but let me explain something to you. If you're in an awkward situation, the best way to make it even more awkward, in fact, to crank up the awkwardness to 11, is to say, hey, this is awkward. And that's just what this fuckhead just did, all right? He saw that Liam was struggling. It was obvious to everybody present that Liam didn't want to play back his evaluation. So what you do, if you're actually a cool guy, you run interference. You know what I'm saying? You come in and you say, hey, I don't want to see his evaluation. That's weird. And then it takes the onus off of Liam, and then he's not, you know, he doesn't seem like the uncomfortable, awkward guy. Instead, Jonas walks right up and says, well, he's clearly uncomfortable. It's not cool. Let's not make him do this. And then Jonas kind of he puts the onus on Liam, but at the same time, he takes credit for being the ultra cool guy for saving Liam, which he's not. In fact, that's like a backhanded compliment in a weird way. Anyway, that's what happens. So now Jonas is, or not Jonas, Liam is kind of, well, he's not a big fan of Jonas's to begin with because I didn't pick up on it watching it, but at the same time, we'll notice it later, that there's like a weird, energy between Fiona and Jonas. I don't know how else to explain it. But it's kind of wacky, but we'll get into that in a second. So the night goes on. Jonas just keeps going on about how cool he is. And you can tell the most pretentious fuckhead at the party because he's doing that move where you sit in the chair, but you kind of sit sideways and throw your arm up on the chair back. You know what I'm saying? As if to say, look how cool I am. I'm so relaxed right now. I don't even need a chair back to get comfortable. That's basically what Jonas is doing. And he's kind of holding court. You know what I mean? He's like kind of dominating every conversation and, you know, talking about how he doesn't believe in monogamous relationships. And he makes some very just fuckface-y comments about how, he was in a serious relationship, but then he realized it was garbage. And the reason he knew it was garbage is because his would-be fiance was upstairs waiting for him to have sex with her, but he was downstairs having a pull or, you know, beating off to one of his playbacks from a hot night with an old girlfriend. Now, just who do you suppose that old girlfriend was? Interesting. All right, so basically we just spend this evening deciding that Jonas is a fuckface and Liam is our guy. Fair enough. Now it's time to end the party. So, Liam and Fiona are getting ready to leave. They hop in their weird automated cab, and apparently they invited Jonas back to their place for a quote-unquote nightcap. Now, they're in the cab, Jonas is following them in his car, and we get a weird, like, kind of snippy argument between Liam and Fiona about who it was that actually invited Jonas back to their place. So they both break out their playbacks, and what we find is that it was actually Liam that invited him back, but kind of at the insistence of Fiona. Now, let me explain this. And this is where I like to think that this rice grain memory chip would be a good idea, but this is how it's going to backfire, because they get outside the party. They're both kind of standing around by the cab in his car. And Fiona says, oh, it's really early. And Jonas is like, oh, should we go to a pub or, go have a nightcap or something? And Liam's like, no, we got to get back. Our babysitter's there and we got to let her go, because apparently Liam and Fiona have a kid. Okay, that's great. But then there's like a good 15 beats of awkward silence. And then Liam is like, why don't you come back to our place and have a drink with us there? And then Jonas, of course, is like, yeah, okay. So technically it was Liam that invited him back, but it was Fiona who kind of steered the conversation in that direction. Oh, it's early. It's really early. I shouldn't turn in yet. And say, who cares? All right, so that's what we're getting. So they're having this argument there in the cab. At some point before they reach their house, they decide that they're going to go ahead and tell Jonah to shove off. So they get to the cab. They get to the house. They make up a very long-winded excuse about not realizing what time it was, and the babysitter's there, and the kid's probably going to be asleep or awake, or they got to be quiet. I don't know. But they manage to get rid of Jonas. Okay. So they go inside, and basically what we get from there is a lot of long-winded, insecure argument about how, oh, I saw the way you were looking at him, and let me play it back for you, and that's not how I was looking at him. And to be fair, if this were any other show besides Black Mirror, it would probably be all for naught, because they're painting a very insecure picture of Liam here, because he's very like, oh, what's up with you and Jonas, and who is this guy, and what's going on, and, you know, accusing her of things, and, oh, I saw the way you looked at him, and then I came in, and you were different after I got there, and stuff like that, and it's pretty tense, but at the same time, via the playback that he's showing us, everything he's saying is actually, it's there, you know what I mean? It's not like he's completely fabricating it, it's there. And via the weird rice memory chip, we get to see it all in living color. And, you know, it's hard for her to get around. So basically, big long argument all night long. Eventually she comes clean. Now, apparently, before Liam and Fiona hooked up, I'm just going to come right out and say it. She had a thing with Jonas before they even met. Now, the thing is that she had explained this to Liam before the relationship, but she referred to Jonas as a quote-unquote thing that happened in Marrakesh, and it was a quick thing. It was like a week. And he's like, a week, huh? And then basically he goes through his playback again, and she says, okay, maybe it was a month. And then he goes back through his playback, and basically via the – and this is where the technology really bites everybody in the ass. At the party – the host of the party was showing some old playbacks from various vacations and stuff like that. And because Liam's chip picked it up, he saw it, zoomed in on it, and in the background of one of the host's nightclub adventures, you can see Jonas and Fiona making out in a nightclub. And he's like, well, that wasn't Marrakesh. That wasn't even, you know, that doesn't look like Marrakesh. And she's like, okay, fine. It was for about 6 months. And he's like, 6 months, huh? Well, fucking fuck. You lied to me. You're continuing to lie to me. Am I ever going to get the truth out of this? And she's like, well, I didn't want to weird you out and stuff like that. All right, fine. So they kind of settle in for the night. They end up having sex, but in a weird way, because whenever you... Okay, hang out with me on this, because this is kind of weird. Apparently, you can do the playback. You can put the playback out on the TV, or you can project the playback, or you can just do the playback in your own head, which is kind of cool, too. Now, the thing about doing the playback in your own head is it causes your eyes to turn gray while you're in playback, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's creepy looking, but it's still kind of cool, because now you can watch stuff in your own brain without everybody else seeing it. Handy for beating off. So they're having sex with each other, and both of their eyes are grayed out, meaning that they're having sex with each other, but they're watching or experiencing something else completely. Who knows? We see what Liam is watching, and he's watching a playback of him and Fiona when they were not all pissed off at each other. And we don't know what Fiona's watching, but she's watching something else. Okay. Cut to the next morning. Now, apparently after they had sex, Liam didn't just roll over and go to sleep. He got up and he kept drinking and he stewed over all this shit that happened at the party the night before. And he's still drunk. Drunker, even. So he's up. He's all fired up. He's watching playbacks of the party and seeing what's going on. And the babysitter's getting ready to leave. She had to spend the night because it was a long wait for a cab. She's getting ready to leave. And drunk Liam calls her over and he's like, okay, hey, we're going to play a little game here. I'm going to play these jokes for you, and you tell me if they're funny. So he starts replaying all of Jonas's jokes from the night before. And he's kind of putting the babysitter on the spot. And he's like, do you think that was funny? And like all the jokes that Jonas said, Fiona laughed at like hysterically. And I don't know. They were fucking pretentious dickbag jokes is what they were. That's the only way to say, you know, oh, right now I'm in a serious relationship with my cornflakes. You're a fuckface. Nobody asked for your opinion. Anyway, if I ever turn into this guy, I expect somebody out there to let me know. I am happy to hear it. By all means, tell me I'm a pretentious windbag and I will either reevaluate my own personality or I will shut the podcast down or I will fix it somehow. But just let me know, because I don't want to be this guy, okay? Anyway, so now he's all fired up. He puts the babysitter on the spot. Fiona comes down, and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, we're just playing a game. We're playing a game called Is It Funny? And we get a lot more playback, and Fiona's like, Jesus Christ, I don't like him anymore. So no, don't just fuck off. You know what? Go keep drinking or stop drinking or make yourself vomit or whatever. Just fuck off with this because this is bullshit. And then she kind of leaves the room. Now, okay, this is normally where I would pass out if I had been drinking all night. Unfortunately, Liam doesn't make the same educated decision that I would, because he gets in the car and drives over to Jonas's house, hammered. Gets to Jonas's house, gets inside, starts making an ass out of himself. You find out that Jonas actually brought home a different chick from the party. There's a chick there that doesn't have the rice grain, and he brought her home and apparently nailed her. So Liam gets in Jonas's house, starts making an ass out of himself, accusing him of all kinds of stuff. Jonas is like, I think it's time for you to leave, mate. And Liam's like, oh, come on, we're having fun here. I'm just messing with you. Basically, Jonas made a very offhand remark about beating off to things with ex-girlfriends. Okay, now it's come to light that Fiona is, in fact, one of Jonas's ex-girlfriends, which means Jonas pretty much admitted to beating off to Fiona. That, is, I could see... I mean, he didn't come out and say it, but now that we know the truth and the whole truth, now it's kind of come to light that that's what's happening. Does Liam have a right to be angry about it? Not really. Not yet, I don't think. But he's hammered, and he's very insecure. That much is obvious. And now he's at Jonas's house, and he's pretty fired off. So basically what's going to happen is there's going to be a little bit of a violent altercation. Chick without the rice grain is going to call the cops. Apparently the cops can tap into your rice grain feed thingy and see what's going on the spot. But apparently, because she doesn't have one, she can't do that, which means it's going to take the cops a little bit longer to get there. During the altercation, we see Liam hit Jonas in the head with a bottle. It almost looked like it was on accident, though. And then from there, we're going to cut immediately to probably an hour or two later. Liam is coming to, and he is in the front seat of his car with his head slumped over the wheel. And the car has veered off the road and smashed into a tree. He's like, oh, fuck. I am completely hungover, and apparently I've wrecked my car. What the fuck did I do? So he starts running the playback. Now, we're just going to see it at like triple speed. But more of what we're going to see here is Liam with his eyes in that gray state. And he's like, oh, and then he kind of slumps over and he starts crying. Now, I thought that this meant that he killed Jonas, which would suck, but I would be okay with because he's a dick. Instead, we're going to cut from there directly to Liam and Fiona's house. Liam walks in, and the first question out of his mouth is, did you use a condom? What? Did you use a condom? What are you, hey, what's going on here? Okay, that's pretty creepy. So Fiona's like, what are you talking about, a condom? You're my husband, I love you, I would never cheat on you, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And Jonas is like, you know, I just went over, or Liam's like, you know, I just went over to Jonas's house. Let me show you the little highlight reel here, Peanut. So he pulls it up on the TV. Basically, we find out what exactly happened at Jonas's place. While the grainless chick was on the phone, Liam put a pretty good beating on old Jonas, held him down, and he's like, I want you to delete every playback that has my wife in it right now. And he's like, yeah, fine. And his eyes glaze over, and he's like, nah, do it on the TV, you fuckface. So he's like, yeah, okay. So he basically pulls up on the TV. It's like a big thumbnail screen with all the playbacks, little thumbnails of the playbacks from that have Fiona in it. And then he does like a clean sweep and wipes them all. All right, cool. Now, the problem is that now we're going to cut back to the bedroom with Liam and Fiona. Liam's like, that picture on the wall there. He's talking about a painting that was in their bedroom behind the bed. He's like, I bought that for you about 18 months ago. And then he pulls up the footage of Jonas deleting all that shit, does like a zoom in and enhance on the thumbnails, and sure as shit, one of them is her naked in the bedroom with the painting behind her. Well, then, fuck me. And then the little caption says 18 months ago. Okay, there's a problem right there, my friends, because the baby that they just had is, I don't know, what, about a year old or something like that? It would coincide with the possibility of Jonas being the real father of that particular baby. So he's like, did you wear a condom? And she's like, I'm so sorry, it was a mistake, I got drunk. Apparently, at one point, about 18 months ago, Liam actually left her for like 4 days over some other horse shit. And she's like, it was during that four-day thing. I hadn't heard from you. I was desperate. And he's like, 4 days? That's how long it took you to have sex with this guy? Two and a half days was too much? Or I don't know. What was going on with you? And she's like, I don't know. It was just we met for a drink, and then I got drunk. And he's like, did you wear a condom? And she's like, yes, of course. And he's like, good. Pull up the playback and show me. And she's like, I can't. I deleted it. I wanted it out of my thing. And he's like, okay, then there should be a gap in the in your playback, so let me see the gap then. And she's like, okay. And then real quickly, her eyes glaze over. And he's like, you're not deleting it right now. You're going to show me right now. And you're going to show me on the TV, you fucko. So she pulls it up on the TV. Sure as shit, it's her and Jonas having sex about 18 months ago. No mention of a condom. And we don't actually get to see it, but it looks like there's a good chance that he came inside her. So that sucks completely, and she got busted, and that's that. That's how that goes. So from there, there's like a lot of quick playbacks and little jump cuts, And basically what we're going to see is Liam walking around his now empty and gloomy house, replaying, you know, good times that he had with Fiona and with the baby. And, you know, in this room, she made me breakfast over here in the kitchen. In this room, she was laying on the couch once. And basically, he walks into the bathroom and decides to excise his own rice grain. And that's basically what happens. And that is pretty much the end of this episode. That was the entire history of you. Now, let's talk about this for a second. This is a prime example of technology biting us in the ass, but at the same time, I feel like that technology can be used as a bumper, as a guideline. You know what I mean? You're not getting, if we actually had access to this, nobody's getting away with shit anymore. And therefore, you should probably, you know, factor that in to your horrible behavior. Now, I've seen this equation from every possible angle. I've been the guy that has been cheated on, and I've been I've cheated on ex-girlfriends, and I've been the guy that somebody else's girlfriend wants to cheat on their boyfriend with. It sucks, but when it comes to that, my friends, I think ignorance is bliss. If my wife decides that she wants to cheat on me, she will do it. She's smarter than me. She'll get away with it. She's smarter than me. She'll have all kinds of contingency plans in effect. And, you know, barring a rice grain memory implant, there's nothing I can really do to stop her except be a good husband, not be a fuckface, and not accuse her of stuff every time she comes home. So, I mean, but at the same time, if I had access to that kind of, you know, I mean, I hate to play the devil's advocate here, but he was right in the end. He was absolutely right. And she fucked up and on a magnificent scale, because now we don't know whose baby that is, and pretty good chance it's not Liam's. So fucking fuck. That sucks a bag of dicks, and Liam's the victim here. But his suspicions were correct. So, I guess in hindsight, this could be where we go as a society. You know, everybody's got smartphones. Everybody's got cameras. If I were to mess around on my wife at a club or something like that, one of her friends were present, she would most definitely take video footage of me doing so and send it to my wife, and I would be busted. Much the same with her. So this, I mean, we can't do it with this kind of clarity and accuracy just yet, but I think we will at some point. So if you want to cheat on your girlfriend, you better do it now while you can still half-ass kind of get away with it or talk your way out of it, because I feel like that time frame is coming to an end thanks to smartphones and weird rice grain memory implant chip thingies. That's about it for this episode, my friends. Thank you very much for joining me and for contributing to the Patreon campaign. Of course, that means a lot to us. That's what keeps the Padded Room alive and well. And I'm not just speaking for myself. I'm speaking for Horror for Dummies and Cake Wolf's Happy Hour and the rest of the content that we bring you here on a weekly basis. Join me next week for another episode of Black Mirror. This, oddly enough, was the end of Season 1. It was only 3 episodes. So we're just going to roll right into Season 2. I'm not going to mess around with a wrap-up show or any of that shit. We're just going to keep on trucking because there's only 3 episodes. And there's not a lot to talk about other than pig-fucking, weird smart cells in dystopian societies, and cheating spouses. So, you know what I mean? We'll just keep on trucking right into Season 2. Thank you for joining me and for contributing. I'll see you next week with another episode of Black Mirror.
Try to shame me, and still I'll care for you. You can run around, even put me down, still I'll be there for you. Oh, your love.